schedule here today, so give me some grace here today, as I just kind of want to share some things with you here today. And today, a popular word, we don't use counselors too much or words like that, the people that help us, but we use the word coach. And so we have sports coaches, we have life coaches, we have financial coaches, we have leadership coaches, we have all kind of coaches that we can pull into our life, apply for almost any area of our life. And so we're going to talk about Coach Holy Spirit today. Amen? And so God has given us a wonderful gift in the person of the Holy Spirit. And so we're grateful for this day to celebrate him and the birth of our church. So this is Pentecost Sunday. And how many know this is when we celebrate the birth of the church? This is when the church set out upon its assignment that the Lord had given them, the church, and to fulfill our purpose. And so I want to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit a little bit here today. And a lot of times as Pentecostals, we focus on the idea of speaking in tongues. But how many know that's just an element of being baptized in the Holy Spirit? And so we want you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. But I want you to know that's not it. That's not the end. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But you will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." And so in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. So we need to understand this word power here today. It comes from the word dunamis, but it comes from the verb dunamai. It means to be able, to have power to do. It means to have the capacity for. And before they wrote the Bible, the classical Greek, that meant these words, and I think that's pretty good to apply to this scripture: I can, I am able, or I am capable of. Aren't you glad that he has given us the Holy Spirit that we can say this: I can, I am able, I am capable of? Because we go to the New Testament, we find out that this word means the ability and the capacity to accomplish something in deed, attitude, or thought. And so this is the gift that God has given to the church. Jesus said, I was what? I came to baptize, what? With the Holy Spirit and with fire. All right. The Holy Spirit gives us the capacity or the capability or ability to be his witnesses for Jesus. And we know that we understand here today that the Holy Spirit provides a lot of things for us. He provides us knowledge and wisdom. How many know that? He gives us insight into the word. He gives us insight maybe into situations that we face. How many know it's wise, it's wisdom to know how to use the word of God? There's a lot of people today that are misusing the word of God. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us how to use it. He provides the words to speak. The Bible says when we get in front of somebody, when we stand before people, what? We don't pre-plan it, but what? He said, I will give you the words to speak. And so, he gives us the ability to operate in the supernatural gifts. How many know as Pentecostals, we like to talk about the gifts. But how many know we want to see more of those gifts in operation? That's why we need the Holy Spirit. He enables us to pray the perfect will of God. The Bible says when we don't know how to pray, what? We pray in the Spirit, right? We pray by according to the Holy Spirit. And he knows the will of God, how many know, better than we do. So it pays to pray in the Holy Spirit. And he gives us the anointing to serve. And of course, we use that word in the Pentecostal church, anointing, but we really don't really understand that word, but we like it. Sounds good. Well, I want the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But how many know that this anointing gives us synergy? When we, what? When people work together, it creates synergy, right? It creates something more than one person could do alone. But how many know when we join the Holy Spirit in what he is doing, it creates an incredible anointing upon the works that God has called us to do? So we see the fulfillment of this in Mark chapter 16. Do we need to stand up for a minute? Let's all stand a minute. Some of you are getting sleepy already. I know it's late in the morning here, and I know that you had a busy weekend, but let's just worship him this morning. Father, we just come into your presence here today. We just want to take a moment, Lord, to remember why we're here today, not to catnap, not to rest our eyes, but Lord, to receive something from you. And so, Father, we're just doing this to kind of make us alert here a little bit, move our bodies a little bit. And so, Father, we just want to stimulate our minds and our hearts here today to be able to receive from your word. And we pray in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. How many know that in the training that Karen provides, this is what you do, all right? Every so often, you make the kids stand up, do a different activity from what they're accustomed to. So, here we go. All right, Mark chapter 16. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever what? Believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink any deadly poison, and it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick, and they will get well. And after the Lord has spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples did what? They went out. They goed. Right? He said, go into all the world. They goed. All right? And preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by what? Signs and wonders, right, that accompanied them. So I just want to encourage you as Pentecostals here today, we need to break out of our Holy Spirit huddles, right? We like to gather. We like to have a movement of the Holy Spirit. We like for him to show up. But how many know that when he shows up, we're to take him somewhere with us, all right? We don't leave him here until next Sunday, all right? We don't need just another notch in our belt. We don't need another certificate on our wall saying, I have received the Holy Spirit and now I speak in tongues. It's more than just that, right? It's walking and living in the Holy Spirit and allowing him to do whatever he wants through our lives. So when we dissect this Mark 16, we discover two belief systems. Number one, we believe unto salvation and are baptized in water. We read it in Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace you have been saved through what? Faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and what? Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Then we just read that, right? We read that in Mark 16. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith or your belief and are saved. In Matthew chapter 28:19, we see the Great Commission in action here. It says, therefore, go and what? Make disciples. Preach the gospel. Get people saved. That's what it's talking about. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So what we understand here is there's this one belief system that says we believe unto salvation and are baptized in water. What separates us out as a fellowship, as Pentecostals, is that we take it a step further. How many know we believe there is a second work of grace? Not just getting saved, but we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So the second belief system is this. We believe unto salvation and are baptized in water and the Holy Spirit. All right? And I want you to know that the Pentecostal church is the fastest growing church. Mainline denominations are dying. They are fading away. And Pentecostals is the fastest growing church around the world. Aren't you glad you're part of what God is doing? Hallelujah. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you are clothed with what? Power, dunamis, from on high. All right? This ability, this skill to be his witnesses. Acts chapter 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them, without exception, were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to what? Speak in other tongues. As who enabled them? The Holy Spirit enabled them. All right? So when we talk about this, this is not a theology thing. This is a spirit thing. This is what God said. We wrestle with individuals. We wrestle with other denominations about the theology of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But folks, it's not a theology issue. It's a spiritual thing. It is something that God has set up. Theology is just us studying God, us studying the Word, trying to understand God. Whether you accept it or not, this thing is a spirit thing. There is a lot of theology out there that does not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that it is gone, it is over, it was just for a set time. But folks, we are here today believing that it is for today. In 2 Peter, no, not 2 Peter, it's Peter who says in Acts chapter 2, he has been preaching and they're convicted and they said, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent, which was a theme here as we began today, as people were proclaiming here earlier that repentance is part of this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. We could stop there and say, yes, that's theology number one. That was the first segment that we read, the first belief system. But it goes on and says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we can't do one without the other. Folks, we need salvation, but we also need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The promises for you, isn't that great? To those that he was talking to, who he was preaching to, he said, to your children, and he said, for what? All those who are far off. Some translations even put in there Gentiles. I'm a Gentile. I am glad I am included in this scripture here today. For all whom the Lord our God will call. So if you are called to be saved today, you are also called to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a spirit thing. It's not a theology thing. Whether you agree with it or not, it doesn't matter. It is what it is. It's the way God set it up. Acts chapter 2 also goes on, and Peter quotes from Joel. You know this scripture. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my flesh upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will what? They will prophesy. They will prophesy. For some reason in our minds, we think that prophesying is kind of telling the future. But prophesying is basically speaking by divine inspiration. It's proclaiming under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, who gives us the ability to proclaim the gospel. That's what it's talking about here. That if you have accepted Jesus Christ and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have been given the gift of prophecy to go out and proclaim the good news about Jesus Christ. It's not just a gift that we have in the ninefold spiritual gifts, but it is something we are all called to do, is to proclaim the goodness and the good news of Jesus Christ. It's called the Great Commission. Jesus coached the disciples for approximately 3 years, and then he handed it off to the person of the Holy Spirit. Let me confirm that in John chapter 16, verse 7. But verily I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate or the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So instead of the word advocate here, I'd like to use the word coach. Okay? How many knows that this is what the Holy Spirit does? He helps us, right? We talked about all the different things that he does. He coaches us in our relationship with Christ and for doing the Great Commission. John chapter 7, verse 38. We read, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of what? Living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given. Why? Because Jesus had not been glorified. Jesus was still with them. He's saying, when I go away, the Holy Spirit is going to come. So we read in the scriptures, we read in the Bible that both Jesus and Paul encouraged people to partake of the Holy Spirit. If you remember in John chapter 4, there was a woman at a well who had a sketchy lifestyle. And so Jesus enters into a conversation with her, and Jesus says to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you what? Living water. Didn't we just read up in that scripture up there that out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water? What he was promising her was there's going to be a time when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and it is going to be a river of water that flows not just in you, but through you out to others. Paul went to Ephesus in chapter Acts 19. I know I'm giving you a download here, all right? But I just want to lay this foundation here today that this is for today, and that we need to be walking in that today. Paul wrote, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Again, it ties the two together, right? Believing for salvation and being filled with the Holy Spirit. They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. We grow up and we believed in the Trinity. We said it every week. As we said the Lord's Prayer, as we said the Apostles' Creed, we said that every week. We heard it from the priests, but did we really understand? We had no comprehension. We didn't even know we were supposed to be born again. We didn't even know we had to believe unto salvation. Did we know about Jesus? Yes. He was born, he lived, he died, right? Let me tell you here today that we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And there are people today that do not understand what the Holy Spirit can mean in their life because they have not been taught. So Paul asked them, what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said John's baptism was baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe, there's that word believe again, in the one coming after him, that is Jesus. And I kind of added this little portion here because we know the gospel tells us that Jesus would come and baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. And what did they do? They spoke in tongues and they prophesied. They go together. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is to be an individual who prophesies and proclaims under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit the good news about Jesus Christ. So, why should we want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism in 2026? Why do we want it in our lives? Why are we even talking about it today? Because we need it. Amen. Drew Aller. Anybody know that name? All right. All two of you. Amen. It's a name you probably don't know. He was the quarterback for the Nittany Lions. And he was drafted this year by the Pittsburgh Steelers. And there are believers and there are doubters in this kid. Some are saying he is the next franchise quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And some say he'll be lucky if he makes second string. And so there is a lot of controversy over this selection that they made. In Aller's tangibles, his natural traits, all right, these are non-coachable traits. These are things that are naturally in him. He's 6'5". And how many know you want a tall quarterback? Because they got to look over the front line. And how many know that your front line's pretty big? Your front line is the biggest people on your team. They weigh between 250, 300, and even higher. And they're tall. So as a quarterback, Wouldn't it be nice to be able to see over them? See what's down the field? He's 6'5", 228 pounds. He has almost 10-inch hands. That doesn't mean a lot to us. How many remember the name Kenny Pickett? He was criticized for having what? Small hands, right? He has big hands, so you can grasp that football and hold on to that football. He is also known for a strong throwing arm. He has a lot of speed, and he can throw it down the field. And so these are the positives in his life. They say he has a pocket presence, kind of like Ben Roethlisberger. And so these are some of the things that he did not have to be taught. These are some of the things that just are tangible. They're already in him, all right? And so there are weaknesses that he has. There are intangibles that he has that will probably prevent him from playing in 2026. They're not just going to put him in position and say, well, you're our quarterback. We selected you, man. We're so, you know, enthralled with you. We think you can do it. No, it's not going to happen. One of the things they're working on is his footwork, crummy footwork, all right? And he doesn't know how to, his stance in throwing. He's not very good with his footwork while he's in the pocket. There's inconsistency while he's under pressure. He misthrows a lot. His timing is off. And his reading of the field is kind of something you kind of learn. It's progressive. So these are things that can be changed by coaching. He has the tangibles, which you can't teach anybody. You can't make somebody 5'8", 6'5". You just can't do it, right? But these are the intangible things that can be changed by coaching. So, where does this all fall on? It falls on some of Aller's weaknesses, but they also blame the coaches at Penn State. And they actually had an interview on TV with the guy from Penn State and said, yeah, we didn't train him very well. I mean, how many of you at a college coach would confess that we didn't do a very good job training this kid? And so now he has a chance to do that. Drew Aller desires to play football and not sit on the bench. If you were on a football team, you don't want to sit on the bench. You don't want to go out for every practice and then have to sit on the bench and watch somebody else play. You want to be out there playing. There are approximately 73,000 college-level football players in the United States in a given year. That's crazy, isn't it? But only 1,696 can be first-string players on the defense and offense, give or take the special team players. That's not a very good statistic, right? There are only 53 players on an NFL team. Each team can have an additional 16 players on the practice squad. There's going to be a test after this to see if you remember this. Every member of the football team wants to play and be paid as a starter. They don't want to sit on the bench. The desire of any player or every player is to be drafted in the first round and be a plug-and-play football player. You want to be selected in that first round, and you want to take part on that team right away. In the church, I don't think anybody should be content sitting on the bench. Well, God is using others. So some questions we might want to ask ourselves here today, are we coachable? I tell you, Drew Aller is doing all that he can. He is listening to his coaches, correcting what he can correct so that he can play. Maybe not this year, but he could be the franchise quarterback later on. That is his dream. That's his goal. But are we coachable here this morning? Do we want to be a plug-and-play believer, or do we want to sit on the pews? Will we depend on our tangibles? How many of us are very skillful at certain things, right? You've got talents. Some of you have experience. Some of you have been doing something forever and ever and ever. And how many know when you do it forever and ever and ever, you're pretty good at it, right? And you don't need anything else. And so we need to be careful that we don't depend on our tangibles and what, say, in the back of our mind, we don't need the Holy Spirit. Will we allow the Holy Spirit to empower us to be his witnesses? You see, God's interested in multiplication, not addition. And if we do things in our own abilities, guess what? We may do some good things. We may accomplish some things. We may be able to add to our ministries, to our church, to the people that come, whatever it is. But he's not interested in addition. He's interested in multiplication. He's interested in synergy. Not you doing it alone, but you empowered by the Holy Spirit. The new direction of the coaching staff for the Pittsburgh Steelers is versatility. Your son's not here. I can't pick on him. Oh, he's back there? They're going to the Super Bowl. Your team's not. Amen. You're hiding from me. All right. Versatility entails the idea of being useful, adaptable, and flexible. Let's not be like some of the football players that come into the NFL who are determined to lock themselves into a specific position and shut themselves off from being used by the coaching staff. So one of the philosophies of the Steelers with a new coach, with a new coaching team, is that what are we going to do? We're after these guys to be versatile. That if you play on the left, you need to learn how to play on the right. Because if injuries come, we need you to step up to the plate, and we need to shuffle the deck a little bit. And so that is their theme. When my oldest daughter was in high school, she played volleyball. And she had in her mind that she was going to be the libero. And if you understand what that is, a libero is an individual who's in the back row. It's a defensive specialist. They pass, they dig, and they help serve. They'll take the place of somebody else to serve. And so they're locked in that position. And I kept telling my daughter, you need to learn some other skills. You need to learn some other skills. And of course, Dad doesn't know anything. And she was determined in her mind that she was going to play that position. And of course, another girl steps up, and she's a little bit more versatile. She can play this part. She can play over here. She can do that. And so she kind of got bumped out. And so she had the privilege on being on two teams in two different towns where teams were always went to the district, and they also went to states. And so instead of her being versatile and learning to play in a different variety of ways, she locked herself in, and she was limited in her playing. In fact, she was lucky sometimes when it got up to the playoffs and into the state, she wasn't even able to play because you don't put your players that you think are not going to pull you through and win in a position at that level. And so I hope she's not listening to my message today. But, it's nice to be on a winning team, but it is also nice or great or fantastic to be part of the team that actually helps you accomplish that. And so I felt sorry for my daughter. I really did. My heart broke for her. But there is that determination in her mind that this is what I'm going to do no matter what. And a coach can only coach those who are willing to be coached. I know that's a deep revelation there, isn't it? All right? A coach can only coach those who are willing to be coached. And I'm telling you here today, if you do not want the Holy Spirit to be your coach, folks, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out on what God has for your life. There are times I look back in my life and I wish I would have. I wish I should have. I wish I could have, right? Things that I wish I would have been further along. And I'm tuned with the Holy Spirit. In the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 28, he gives out talents. He gives out money to three servants. One, he gives 10 bags, 10 talents. To one, he gives five talents, and he gives one. And it says according to what? Their skills, right? What their abilities are. And so they give them out, and we know that the 10 and the 5, what do? They double it, right? They reproduce themselves, right? These individuals were coachable. These were individuals that went out, listened to the master, and did exactly what he did, and they came back with more. They came back with what maybe they didn't expect, but what the master expected out of them. But it says this about the one who received one talent. and verse 24 of Matthew 25. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. How many know that's probably the number one reason why people don't step out and share their faith is fear? It's not that you're inadequate in doing it. Most of us have been in the church for 10, 20, 30 years. We know. We know, really, what to say. All right? So I was afraid and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Let me know that God has placed within you different talents and skills and abilities, right? He's given them to you. And it says here, look, I'm giving them back to you. That's kind of a sorry picture, isn't it? That God blesses your life with talents and abilities, and yet we don't use them for him. Verse 26. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. It's kind of amazing, isn't it? The lesson of the story, those who are coachable will be given more responsibility and receive greater spiritual rewards. It's the moral of the story. Use what you have. Multiply what you have. And it can only be done with the help of the Holy Spirit. Because we don't want to stand before him one day and give an account of our life and say, Lord, I did this, this, and this. And he said, I don't know you. You didn't do it with my help. That'd be a terrible thing to stand before the Lord face. Jesus told this parable about his father in Luke 11. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Amen. You know, we ask for everything under the sun. But are we asking him for the Holy Spirit? More. More. Are we asking for more than what we can do on our own? Are we asking him for the Holy Spirit? The Steelers have lost a step. If you're a Steeler fan, you're probably frustrated with them. And you got your wish. They changed coaches. You got a fantastic quarterback. They've lost a step. They're not the team that they want to be. They have been in the playoffs 5 times in the last 6 years. And they haven't won a playoff game in 10 years. And that is not the standard that the Steelers say that they have. So in an interview, their new defensive coach, Patrick Graham, made his goal clear. He said during his interview, he discussed how there is no need for any gimmicks. Instead, he wants to bring this team back to the elite status through improving the communication and versatility of the unit. Gimmicks. That word kind of jumps out at you. The church is coming up with a lot of gimmicks to get people into their buildings. Folks, we need to be open to the Holy Spirit. We need to have a channel, a communication going on. We need to be versatile. Where we don't lock ourselves in, well, that's not my ministry. My ministry is this or that or whatever. He's looking for people he can use. And how many know that you may be in a place where that other person who specializes in that special thing isn't there. Are you available to be that person? That person you meet in Walmart that starts giving you all their problems. Where's Pastor Chris? Where's Pastor Chris? I could really use him right now. No, you are it. You are it. So if we are honest in our self-evaluation of our church, of our lives, folks, can we say or admit to ourselves that we've maybe lost a step as well? John 16:7. But verily I tell you, it is for your good. How many know he does everything for our good? Right? That's what it says. Every good gift comes from our Father, right? To us. Good stuff. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the helper, the parakletos, the coach, right, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send a coach to you. And the good news is he's not just with us, he's in us. So we can't accidentally leave him home. Can't leave him in the car. He's with you. He goes where you go. A coach is somebody who helps you be the best that you can be. God the Father and God the Son provided us with the necessary coach. Coach Holy Spirit. With the help of the Pittsburgh Steelers' new head coach, Mike McCarthy, whose specialty is working with quarterbacks, Drew Aller may find himself one day to be a franchise quarterback if he takes advantage of the coaching. If he does what the coach wants him to do. That's his dream. And I hope that him and Will Howard, I hope that one day both of them may be franchise quarterbacks. When it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, let us not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let's get beyond faulty theology that it's not for the days in the past or it's for other people, that we don't need it. It's for us. It's for your good. That he not only wants to save you, but he wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He wants to empower you. He wants to enable you. He wants to give you the abilities. Do not allow your theology to rob you of a wonderful gift that God has provided for you. Don't allow fear. Don't allow wrong priorities. Do not allow laziness, as we read in the parable. Keep us from this wonderful gift that God has provided for us. We all need Coach Holy Spirit in our lives.